Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
It is another great day here at Mom Talk Radio, and I'm happy you've joined us on this Palm Sunday, just 1 week away from Easter. Easter, the time of year that I love because for this year, I get to actually start eating popcorn again. I haven't had any popcorn for the entire, what is it, Lent, 40 days of Lent. I guess I'm 33 days into it, and my son said to me the other day, "Mom, why did you give up popcorn? Popcorn's not even bad for you. You're supposed to like change a habit, give up something." But I said to him, "I know you're supposed to give up something like that you really love." And so I love popcorn, and that's what I gave up. I actually gave up popcorn and bubble gum, and I have a really bad habit of chewing sugar bubble gum, which cannot be good for me. So in some ways, I'm going to let my son know that I did give up something that's bad for me. And it was bubble gum. And whew, that's been harder than anything else, actually, is giving up the gum. But you don't have to give up gum, and you don't have to give up Mom Talk Radio, because we're here for the next 40 some odd minutes. And we're happy to have you here. What is your favorite Easter candy? Speaking of bad stuff for you, mine has got to be pink jelly beans and Reese eggs. I love Reese eggs, but the Reese eggs have to go in the freezer so that they're a little bit frozen when I eat them. That's the best. And this year I'm actually going to be in Madrid for Easter. So I'm taking my own Reese eggs with me because I don't want to miss out. They're once a year kind of thing, and I don't want to miss out on my Reese eggs. So there, can you see me going through TSA with Reese eggs? That's going to be me on Sunday. Anyways, we got a great show today. It's brought to you by Drink Pre-Mama. Pre-Mama is the flavorless prenatal vitamin that you can put in your juice, your smoothie, your water. You get everything you need for you and your baby, but without that big old horse pill. So you can find it at Target.com and at soon to be CVS. So check it out. DrinkPremama.com is the website, and they are bringing you Mom Talk Radio today. So we have a great show lined up, a lot of interesting topics from family law and family matters to one mom who is blogging about her journey through parenthood. And we're going to, of course, talk about wellness because you know how I love to talk about wellness. Anyways, we're going to start and talk all about that when we return. So don't go anywhere. Come back and listen to us. Stick with us for the next 40 some odd minutes. That's my new saying today, 40 some odd minutes. But we're happy you're here. And when we return, we're going to be talking with Natoya Green. She is an expert on all things family.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
You know, what takes more work than one child? Well, two children, right? And you think, oh gosh, what if I'd had twins? Well, how about one mom who's doing it with triplets? She is Natoya Green. Her blog is Triplets and Tribeca. And she is an expert on all family matters and actually used to be in the legal profession, gave up her time to stay home with her 4.5-year-old triplets, and the rest is history there. And she's here to share some of her wisdom with us on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Natoya.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to talk to you because I've talked to you before, and you have all these little, like, kind of I don't know, just tidbits that we might not think about. And one of them that I read about on your blog is the hidden hazards of your house. And I know with three 4-year-olds, you're probably always locking down everything, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because thousands of kids actually go to the ER annually because of injuries that happen in the home. And I think so many of us, when we think about risks for kids at home, you know, falls are obviously a big one, and we think about household chemicals. But so many of the injuries can happen as a result of hidden hazards in the home, and one of which I experienced personally, but there are so many that are threats to kids that we really need to be aware of so that we can keep our kids from having to go to the ER or, God forbid, suffering serious injuries as a result.
And, okay, and what about your purse? Because you particularly called out your purse.
Right. A mother's purse, I mean, it's something that no one thinks about, but the reality is that, you know, if you're anything like me as a mom, your whole life is in that purse, which could include nail polish, nail clippers, hand sanitizer, which is also, you know, could be fatal for kids as well. And something that almost every woman has in her purse at one point or another is medication, whether it's prescription drugs or over the counter. And obviously that could be very fatal for kids as well. So, it's something that every mother needs to be aware of. And if your purse is within reach of your child, it could really lead to very negative consequences.
That's right, because we do carry a lot of weird things in there. And then what about bath products?
You know, bath products, I mean, we all love great bath products, but the reality is that they're very visually appealing for kids. And so they can be very dangerous as a result. So a lot of kids, it looks like candy or something of that nature. And so what kids tend to do is what kids always do when they find something appealing, especially kids under 5, they put it in their mouth. And so that can lead to an ER visit, and that's something that we want to avoid.
Okay. And then another thing that you talk about is small batteries and magnets. And I know with magnets, there were problems years ago because what the engineers didn't think about was, what if a child swallows 2 magnets and they actually attach to each other? And there was a whole bunch of toy recalls around that. But let's talk a little bit about the batteries that go into some of those toys.
Well, it's happened, unfortunately. With magnets in particular, if children swallow, and especially, as you said, if they swallow more than one, it can cause damage in the intestines, which could lead to your child having to have surgery and having to suffer the repercussions of recovering from surgery and just the health risks involved of having to have that kind of treatment. So magnets are in so many toys, and they can be so dangerous. And, you know, they're everywhere from our refrigerators to being in toys. So it's something to think about and not just overlook. And batteries, as you know, we have these button batteries now, which are super small, and choking hazards, certainly, but also that batteries contain dangerous chemicals. It's certainly not candy or food, and if swallowed by your child, it can be, it can certainly lead to an ER visit and potentially much, much worse.
Yes, absolutely. And then what about our toilets and the hot water heaters? Because I think we know about toilets for drowning, but hot water heaters?
Hot water heaters, I mean, it's not something that we think about, but if the temperature of the hot water in your home is not, is higher than 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which oftentimes it is, it can cause a serious risk of burns to your child. And so, you know, as kids get older, even now my kids are 4.5, and so they want to go in the bathroom and they can turn on faucets and things of that nature. So you have to really be on guard and make sure that your water temperature in your home is not at such a level where it can burn your child. Or if you, let's say, for example, you live in an apartment building and you're not in control of the temperature in your temperature of water that you receive in your home, then you need to buy things that are available on the market that allow you to pretty much lock those faucets so that your kids can't turn them on and burn themselves. I mean, in some households, I remember growing up, my grandmother, that water was so hot. You know, you turn it on, it was like literally like boiling water, and it happened a lot. And so it's something that people don't think about until it happens. Your child screams, and there's a terrible burn there. So if you have control over this water temperature in your household, certainly pay attention to that. Lower the temperature. If you live in an apartment building or some other sort of setting where it's not within your control, then you need to get the proper tools so that you can childproof. And I mean, as a mom, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, we're learning about childproofing as we go along, but there's some things we definitely want to prevent because some risk of harm is not necessarily, you know, reversible, so we need to be aware of that.
You're absolutely right. So, before we leave you, tell everyone where they can go to find you and your blog and everything that you're doing.
Well, they can certainly reach me at tripletsintribeca.com. I also have a Facebook fan page, Triplets in Tribeca, via Facebook, and I'm on Twitter as well, Ms. Hoya G. And also they can read about me and my parenting advice, the highs and lows of it sometimes, on essence.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. Really good advice. Basically, you know, get down on your knees and walk at the level of your child, and you'll see a lot of those hazards along the way. So thank you so much, Notoya, for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. You know, as we are approaching the summer months, it's time to start thinking about summer camps, and you might want to check out some of the summer camps that I've been tweeting about. Follow me at Mom Talk Radio. And I get to this point and I'm like, oh my gosh, I start putting the pressure on my kids to please think about summer camps so that we're not at the end of the summer going, okay, or in the middle of the summer going, why are you bored? And why didn't we think about this back in March? So think about it now and you won't regret it later. When we return, we're going to be talking with one mom who is chronicling her motherhood and her midlife right online on musingmotherhoodmidlife.com. We're turning the spotlight on one mom that I must say has the most perfect hair. I have never seen this woman's hair not look great, but then again, I guess we're not supposed to be focusing on her hair. We're actually focusing on her blog today because she does amazing things with that as well. She's the mother of a 5-year-old, and her blog is musingsonmotherhoodmidlife.com. And her name is Estelle, and she's joining us on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Estelle, to Mom Talk.
Hi, it's great to be here, Maria, and I'm such a fan of everything you do, as you know, and I think you have lovely hair, too. We have some great pictures of the two of us together.
Well, so you actually used to be a journalist and then a magazine editor, and you made this transition into a different type of career when you became a mom. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I was a magazine editor in the 90s up until the mid-2000s. I got married in 2005, and I had my daughter in 2009. And I made a transition. The industry had been changing. As you know, a lot of magazines had been closing. I had been the editor-in-chief of a number of magazines, Hachette Filipacci's Body by Jake, which was Jake Steinfeld's magazine. There was a magazine by GCR Publishing called American Woman. There was one called Woman's Own.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All those magazines. So I helmed them. And then I started working, launching publications. So I launched the American Breast Cancer Guide. I launched a magazine called Esthetique, which covered beauty and dentistry and all that. And I launched a magazine called Women, Wit Women in Touch. So after this kind of long career in magazine publishing, I got married, and I started thinking about what I was going to do when I went through some infertility because I got married, you know, at a later age, and I did want to have a child, and dealt with infertility, and I had to kind of scale back my life, and I started freelancing, and when I was pregnant, it was really a very difficult pregnancy because I gained 70 pounds. and I just, you know, I had heartburn, and I was sick every day until my 35th week of pregnancy. I had downscaled to working in medical education, so it was much more less of a rigorous type job. There wasn't really travel and a lot of press events and that kind of thing, so it was kind of better for my schedule, and it still brought in a nice income. But when I, you know, they downsized the company that I was working for in my last trimester of pregnancy, and so I thought, what am I going to do? And I started taking on some ghostwriting work and some editing work for some small publishers, some independent publishers that I had known through the industry. And that kind of was really a lifeline for me because it kept me involved, even in the most difficult days of my early motherhood, which I found completely overwhelming because I didn't have any friends. I wrote about it in Brainchild magazine. I didn't have any friends who were in the same stage of life as me. I had no idea about blogging at that point in time. And I really had to build a whole new social network as well as a new professional network. And I got the opportunity to do a column on parenting for then Patch AOL. Mm-hmm. And so I took that, and that kind of gave me a foray back into talking to experts and writing, and it kept me going for the first few years of my daughter's life. But then I found that I needed more, and a lot of the old context had dried up. So I ended up seeing an audition for Listen to Your Mother, and somebody said, you know, do you write essays? And I said, well, no, I'm a journalist. I'm a service journalist. You know, I'd written in for hundreds of publications, mainly about beauty and health and fitness and lifestyle. And I wrote an essay about how I took my then 2.5-year-old daughter to a library reading event. And basically, when they said everybody should sit down, she got up, stood in the middle of the circle, and began to dance. And I talked. I wrote an essay about how that impacted me.
And we only have a minute left, so I want to make sure that everybody gets you get the gist. Estelle has a ton of great content on there, and you can find it at MusingsOnMotherhoodMidlife.com. And Estelle, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry we didn't have more time, but we have a link to your blog on Mom Talk Radio, and we'll have you back to talk again. So thank you so much for joining us today. When we return, we will we'll turn our attention to wellness with Sharon Weinstein.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am very excited to have with us today Sharon Weinstein. She is a Chief Wellness Officer of SWN Group and the founder of Sharon M. Weinstein. And she specializes in work-life balance, fatigue and stress management, leadership, patient staff safety, and humor in the workplace. She's reinvented herself many, many times in the last 30 years or so. She started when she was like 2. And she's very educated in the world of nursing, behavioral science, and graduate management programs. And I see we have something in common that I'll tell her about in just a second. But she's the author of B is for Balance, 12 Steps Toward a More Balanced Life at Home and at Work. So welcome, Sharon, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that warm welcome. And tell me what it is that we have in common.
Well, I see that you are a graduate of the Kellogg Executive Management Program.
Exactly.
Well, I am getting my EMBA right now at Notre Dame, and I can tell you that the whole stress management part of it is something that has been a trying thing for me, that's for sure.
It's overwhelming, isn't it?
Overwhelming is not even to begin talking about.
Right. I know it's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. So, being overwhelmed is something, no matter if you're a mom of, you know, a five-year-old, or you're a mom of six kids, or a mother of two, or a mom like me who's nearly an empty nester and decides to go back to school. I mean, it's just overwhelming sometimes to be a mom. And I think I even said this morning to my husband, I just want some help here. Mm-hmm. What is the secret to those women that appear that they are balancing it a little bit better than maybe I do at times, or other people feel like they do at times?
Or perhaps I have done in the past. You're absolutely right. Yeah, we've all been there and we've all done that. And you think, well, gee, they must have help in the house. And this one has an au pair, and that one has a nanny, and this one has a babysitter twice a week, and somebody else has a housekeeper. But guess what? 85% of us do not have that. We have just us. And as Earth personalities who do everything for everyone else before we do a thing for ourselves, think about it. The laundry has to be done. The lunches have to be made. The groceries have to be bought and put away. You know, we don't really take time to say, okay, I need a 15-minute nap right now for respite. I need some time for me. I need some deep breathing, maybe some yoga, something that will help me to deal better with the stressors in my life. Yeah. But we do wonder often, how do people manage and how do they make it all work or make it look so easy? Think about the TV moms of years ago. They all made it look so easy, didn't they? It didn't matter how many kids they had. They were all dressed up in their ready-to-go clothes. And nobody wore soft clothes. Nobody hung out. Nobody worried about carpools and things. They just all seemed to have it all together. But it's not like that anymore. My husband and I have had the privilege of spending the past 3 weeks with our kids. And quite frankly, they have three little ones who are 3, 7, and one was just 10. And from the number of activities they participate in and the kinds mm-hmm. of things they do, talk about stress.
Right.
You know, I think once, yes, I had three kids under 4, but guess what? I was only 26 years old, and there were so many less things to do then.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Now
you're
it becomes more difficult than ever before, and I empathize with those moms who are feeling this now, even those like yourself who are almost empty nesters. As an empty nester, my personal belief is that when you're mom, you're always mom. Mm-hmm.
If you go to
a grocery store, you go to a movie, and somebody calls out, mom, how many heads turn around? Think about it. Everybody is mom, right?
Right. Right. And I actually think that it becomes more stressful and more complicated the older your children get because, you know, I mean, even I have a 21-year-old, and even when she calls home and says, hey, mom, you know what? I'm going to go to Berlin for the weekend by myself.
Great.
You know, I'm like,
great.
Okay, I wish you were a toddler and you were just walking across the living room and I was afraid of the open socket. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly. You're exactly right. Or that day that your child gets his learner's permit.
Oh, that's the worst.
Or her driver's license. You think, oh, my God, what am I in for now? Now I have more to worry about than I ever did before. So I think that in general, what I recommend to moms is just stop for a moment and smell the roses. Carve out 5 minutes a day for yourself, just 5 minutes, and then increase it to 10 or to 15. And during that period of time, don't do anything. You know, in the Winnie the Pooh books, it's okay to just do nothing. What are you doing? I'm doing nothing. Why are you doing that? Because it makes me feel good. So for moms, my message is think about what brings you the greatest joy when you get out of bed in the morning and how great it is to wake up on this side of the earth as opposed to the options.
That's right. That's right.
Take that joyous moment and live it. Celebrate it.
So, Sharon, we just have 2 minutes left. Can you tell everyone what they would find at your website, SharonWeinstein.com?
Sure. At the SharonMWeinstein.com site, you're going to find all kinds of things about the classes that I give related to fatigue and attitudes of gratitude and stress management and more. I had the privilege of just doing a program for a pharma company that I relabeled Stress Code Red for Women because it was Women's Heart Health Month, and women have great stress in the workplace. So we fostered it and fine-tuned it just for them. But on that site, you'll find out about all of the programs that I do, many of which offer continuing education units for specific disciplines. And then at the smwgroupllc.com website, you'll see more in terms of workplace wellness and how you can initiate a workplace wellness program within your workplace. Because the important thing is to respect the body that you've been given and to know that it's your most vulnerable commodity, and what we put in it and what we surround it with is going to impact its ability to last us now and in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And I already feel calm from just a couple of things that you just said. So we're going to have you back about the time that I have my finals. So
okay.
Thank you so much. And we've got a link to SharonMWeinstein.com where you will find a lot of really great information. And Sharon has got a lot to share, so go and visit her there. When we return, we're going to be talking with the dad who's the author of Geek Baby Baby Book.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
So every now and then on Mom Talk Radio, we have a dad on to talk with. And Tim Mucci is the author of the Geek Baby Book. He has published other books, and we're really excited to have him here to talk with us moms about his book. So welcome, Tim, to Mom Talk Radio.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's, first of all, being a dad, you don't often see dads writing baby books, but talk a little bit about yours.
Sure. Actually, I'm not a dad, but I do have lots of friends and nieces and nephews, friends with babies and nieces and nephews.
Okay. So you, babies. You play one as an author.
What was that?
You play one as an author.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so the Geek Baby Book is for not just for dads. Moms can be geeks too, and it's for anybody who is just looking for a little something outside of the norm for to chronicle their baby's journey through, you know, the upper ages or levels, as I like to call them in the book. As they level up through their lives. It's mainly geared towards geeks. I mean, of course, those are the people who will get most, if not all, of the references in there. But really, anybody could enjoy it.
Well, it sounds like it. So what's the difference between a nerd and a geek?
That's a... like a perennial question that's going around these days. I think it might boil down to something as simple as how people call carbonated sugary beverages pop or soda. You know, we're all basically talking about the same thing. But in my head, nerds are a little more process-oriented. They like to get into how things work. And geeks are a little more culturally oriented. They're into more ideas and the presentation of things.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So, how does a geek, like if you're married to a geek or you might have one in your family, how does that come in handy when you're parenting?
In my experience, geeks are really great at problem solving. You know, most of us grew up playing video games or role-playing games or just playing make-pretend until way after it's socially acceptable to do that. So it's easier to think quicker, to you're open to a lot of wilder ideas, so your the breadth of information that you can choose from is often a little broader because you're, you know, thinking of not just the normal everyday thing that everybody else is thinking of, but, you know, maybe you learn something from the Star Trek episode you just watched on Netflix that can help you solve a problem.
It's got to be entertaining, too, to have a geek around. What is a child's biggest or the baby's biggest milestone from a geek perspective?
For me, interacting with my friends and family who have children, it's usually as soon as they... Well, I mean, I guess my off-the-cuff answer would be as soon as they're able to roll that that D20 and really comprehend what the results mean. But I think once they start talking, then, you know, all bets are off, and you can, you know, watch TV together or play games together and really, really start having a communication back and forth.
Right. Yeah, I know. Like, once you can kind of, like, actually talk to them, it's so much better. You know, yeah. I know that there's a lot of dads out there, because I know one, Tim Burns, who's actually blogs at a geekdaddy.com, and he has an interesting perspective. But I was just wondering, like, you know, what do you think is the best toy or gift for the geek baby?
That's a tough one. I think the best gift the best gift that my parents ever gave me was just not restricting my imagination at all. You know, there wasn't one thing that I was given that I was super appreciative. It was everything. You know, if I was into a monster movie or a scary toy, it was okay, as long as I was interested in it, it was provided for me. So I think unrestrained access to their imagination is the best gift. You know, nothing they can imagine is wrong, as long as they're not hurting other people.
Well, I think this book would make a great baby shower gift or a reveal party gift. And the title is The Geek Baby Book by Tim Mucci. And he has a website under his same name there on. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. So, Tim, thank you so much for joining us today. And good luck with the book. It's very an interesting perspective on parenting, that's for sure. So thank you so much for joining us today. And you know, you guys, it takes all kinds of parents to give us a diverse and exciting new generation. And many of you millennials are out there helping to pave the way. So so check it out. Tim's book is very, very funny. When we return, we're going to be talking to another author. She's the author of a book called Blackout, and I'm not going to hold it against her that she went to the University of Florida. We don't want to talk about her right now, but, you know, that is the arch rival of Florida State University, where I graduated, but we'll address that when we got her on the air. Anyways, we are going to take a short break. We love having you here. Hey, and while we're on break, go to Twitter and follow us at Mom Talk Radio. So when we return, the author of Blackout. How do you follow up an author of a book called The Geek Baby Book? You invite a mom who is now writing young adult science fiction books. And her name is Meredith McArdle, and she's the author of Blackout. She is now working on a series of books, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you move from practicing law, becoming a mom, and then becoming a full-time writer. So welcome, Meredith, to Mom Talk Radio.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So how do you come up with science fiction stories for kids out of practicing law?
I've always loved reading and writing, and I've always had a big imagination, and science fiction and fantasy were definitely my bread and butter when I was growing up. And I had always wanted to write, but I was working in commercial litigation, which is very time intensive. So I found that I didn't always have the time to devote myself. I would create these stories in my head, but I would never actually have the time to write them down on paper. So it was after I had my first daughter a few years ago, and I made the decision that I was going to leave my job for the time being and stay home with her. And then all of a sudden, I found that I had all of this free time on my hands because, you know, babies sleep a lot.
Right.
So I decided that I would try my hand at writing. And the first book that I wrote was fantasy. And then after that, I started this the science fiction series. It's a time travel series.
And you just make these stories up in your head, huh?
Pretty much. I've always loved time travel. And so with this book, the first book in the series is called The Eighth Guardian. And that was actually inspired by a song title. I was driving around one day trying to get my daughter to fall asleep, and this song came on the radio, and it was called Iris with a Pupil. And I became obsessed with the title of that song. So I created this story in my head of this girl named Iris, and she is a part of this organization. She's, you know, a pupil, code for student. And then she's going to go on the run from the organization, and that just kind of came out of nowhere. And then the idea for time travel hit me because I've always loved time travel, and that's, I just sort of took it and ran.
Wow, that's amazing. And so where can moms and their kids find your books?
It's available at most online retailers. You can find it in select bookstores as well.
Yeah. And then what about the age of, like, what's the age of the books for? Like, about? I know
it's
young adult.
For,
but...
Young adult. It's built for ages 14 and up.
Okay. Interesting. And then I just wanted to know, like, so the world of fantasy, do you have to do research to make it seem real? Like, I've always wondered where they, like, how they make it so it seems like it's real.
Yeah, so much research. So much goes into it. I know every writer works differently. I tend to focus on my plot first. So I'll write a draft of a story that is pretty much just the plot and, you know, very bare bones characters. And then it's through revision that I really go back in and I flesh out the world and the characters. So it's really just asking yourself a lot of questions, taking your experiences from the real world, you know, our everything from the food that we eat to our monetary systems to our political systems, and really focusing on that and creating something in a new world that's going to make sense within the parameters that we already know.
Right.
That makes sense.
Well, I want to thank you so much. The books are out now. It's called Blackout, and you can go to MeredithMcCradle.com to learn all about them. And I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your talents and sharing some of your day with us on Mom Talk Radio. So congratulations.
Thanks so much, Maria.
And good luck with the new books. And I want to just extend to you a happy Easter season. And remember, don't eat too many of those jelly beans, because you know what'll happen? I'll have a guest in the next 2 weeks to talk about how to lose weight and get the jelly beans off your hips or something like that. Because after all, I always book guests that I need to learn from too. So I want to thank you for listening today on Mom Talk Radio. Remember, you can follow us on Mom Talk at Mom Talk Radio on Twitter, or you can go to our sister site, momtv.com, to find out more and to watch some of our videos. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.